Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
As a teenager, King David of Israel was a shepherd who tended his father's sheep. Later, when he was brought into King Saul's court, his gift for music resulted in him playing his harp for Saul. As king after Saul, David wrote many songs as well. 73 of the songs in the Bible book of Psalms are attributed to David, with the most famous one being Psalm 23. Many people have learnt this one off by heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. David's songs expressed his feelings and thoughts at different times of his life. In many of his songs, such as Psalm 3, David appealed to the Lord for help, and then expressed his confidence that the Lord would answer. In other songs, he gave thanks for the Lord's goodness to him, like Psalm 9. In some of them again, such as Psalms 8 and 19, David meditated on God's greatness and the wonder of his ways. While in many other songs, such as Psalm 2, 22 and 110, David spoke prophetically of the coming Messiah. When David became old, his officials chose a beautiful young nurse named Abishag to take care of him. David felt always cold and spent a lot of his time resting in his bed. He could no longer take an active role in governing Israel. The people of Jerusalem sensed that David wasn't going to live much longer, and his oldest living son, Adonijah, thought that this seemed to be the right time to have himself declared the new king of Israel. He was the younger brother of Absalom and a very good-looking man as well.
Your father, the king, grows weaker and weaker. This is your chance, Adonijah, my son. Take it and become king, king of Israel. But you must hurry, or your brother Solomon may try to claim the throne.
Since Absalom was killed, I am the eldest living son of David and next in line to become king. I'm the crown prince. Yes, mother, I shall do it. I shall exalt myself immediately and have myself acclaimed king. I shall have chariots and horsemen prepared and cause 50 men to run before me. The people will be impressed and accept me as their next king without question.
Out of the way, woman! His Majesty King Adonijah approaches. Hail to the new king, King Adonijah! Bow the knee, Adonijah the king passes by. Hail ye the new king and pay him obeisance. Long live the king!
Long live the king!
Solomon is wise, very wise for one so young.
While we speak of our son Solomon, my lord, may I confirm the fact that it is your wish that he become the next king of Israel, taking your place upon the throne?
Such is the will of God and the desire of my heart. You should know that.
I do, my lord, but there are those who do not know it.
I perceive that you're worried about... Is there something going on that I know nothing of?
Yea, my lord. Thy son Adonijah, by Haggith, has proclaimed himself king. He celebrates by a great feast for the people, including all thy other sons, except Solomon. When my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders and sentenced to death.
Begging his majesty's pardon, but Nathan, the prophet of God, wishes an immediate audience.
Audience granted. Show him in.
His majesty grants the audience.
Thank you. Long live the king.
You wish something, no doubt. I tire quickly, so make it brief.
Your majesty, thy son Adonijah hath proclaimed himself king, and even now celebrates by...
Yes, I know. Queen Bathsheba has just told me.
Why is it, my lord, that thou hast not chosen a successor and made the choice known unto me, thy servant?
My choice has been made, and I thought my officers knew whom I desire to sit upon my throne when I am gone. You knew it, did you not?
No, your majesty.
Bathsheba. Bathsheba, Where is she? She was here just a moment ago.
She left as I entered, Your Majesty.
Fetch her here at once. Bathsheba, my beloved, and Nathan, prophet of God, as the Lord liveth, I swear unto thee that my son Solomon shall reign after me. He shall do so this very day. Call before me Zadok the priest, and Benaiah, chief of my guards. They must place Solomon upon my mule, and take him to Gihon, where he shall be anointed king over Israel. The trumpet shall then be blown, proclaiming him king.
A toast to the new king, Adonijah, king of Israel. That bugle and the cheering. The city is in an uproar. Wonder why.
Greetings, Your Majesty.
You're excited. You've been running. Obviously, you came with good tidings.
Your Majesty, the people rejoice and cheer because King David, thy father, hath made Solomon king in his stead.
My father, King David, still lives. He's still the real king of Israel.
He was, but he has abdicated in favor of Solomon. Thy half-brother Solomon doth actually sit upon the throne, king of all Israel.
The people, those who are on my side here at the feast, they're gone. Where are they?
Evidently, Your Highness, they heard the news and, fearing Solomon's wrath, are arisen and gone each man to his own home. That's just where I'm going.
Is there no place of safety where I may escape?
Go to the temple.
I'd forgotten. The temple's a sanctuary from the vengeance and wrath of man. I will go there.
The books of 1 and 2 Kings follow straight on from the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. The books of Kings record the history of Israel's kings from the beginning of Solomon's reign, in about 970 BC, to the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC, when Judah was taken to Babylon in exile. Scholars think that both the books of Kings were written during the Babylonian exile to explain to the Israelites why their kingdom had fallen and God's temple in Jerusalem destroyed. The reason was that both the people and their ruling kings at the time had disobeyed God's covenant commands. As a result, the people were reaping the punishment of their disobedience. As early as 2 Samuel chapter 12, it had been known that David's son Solomon was God's choice for David's successor. In 1 Kings chapter 1, Adonijah set himself up to be proclaimed king, just like his older brother Absalom. Adonijah gathered his horsemen and runners to go ahead of him and lead the way. He also secured the support of Joab, David's army commander, and Abiathar, David's priest, but he didn't gain support from David's high priest Zadok, Nathan the prophet, or the mighty men who belonged to David. Adonijah then invited all those who supported him as king to a feast. But while they were partying, they heard that Solomon had been anointed king. Quickly they abandoned Adonijah, as they were now afraid of being seen as those trying to seize power from Solomon and worthy of death. What happened to Adonijah? He fled to the temple of God for safety, but not for sacred reasons. He used his religion for only his personal gain. This is true of some people today who use wrong motives to make their livelihood from religion. When Solomon sat on the throne of Israel, Adonijah was afraid of him. From the temple of God, Adonijah sent King Solomon a message, asking him to promise not to kill him for his actions. Solomon was a wise man and told Adonijah that if he proved himself a loyal man, he would have nothing to fear. But if Adonijah was ever found to be doing wicked things, he would be put to death. So Adonijah left the temple and he came before Solomon, bowing low to him and agreeing to his terms before returning to his home. Yet had Adonijah given up for good his ambitions to be king? There's no doubt that Adonijah thought he was very important and that his ambition was to have power and control. Later, when Solomon's throne had been firmly established, Adonijah and his allies resurfaced and constituted again a possible threat to Solomon's throne. Adonijah cunningly went to Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, and asked her to seek a special favor from Solomon. Adonijah wanted permission to marry Abishag, the beautiful young girl who had nursed David when he was old and lying in bed. Adonijah thought that Solomon couldn't ever refuse Bathsheba. Bathsheba didn't see anything wrong with his request, or if she did, she pretended she didn't. But Solomon certainly did. To marry a king's wife was in effect to claim that king's throne. Abishag was counted to be part of David's household, even though he never had sexual relations with her. By asking this request, Solomon quickly realized that Adonijah was still trying to gain their father's throne, and he was no longer loyal to Solomon's rulership. As a result, Solomon had Adonijah put to death that very same day. What can we learn from these events? Firstly, God's ways are not man's ways. It's the world's way for the eldest son of a king to follow in his father's footsteps and become the next king. In olden times, however, it wasn't unusual for the successor in families to take up the role of administrator before the elderly leader had passed away. This was particularly so when the old king was no longer able to carry out most of his duties, like David was when confined to his bed. Did Adonijah learn nothing from the disaster that his older brother Absalom had caused when he tried to become king? The first place Adonijah should have sought was his father's bedside to have a talk about David's successor. He could have ultimately saved his life by doing so. Another aspect of Adonijah's life, of note, was his self-interest. Many times he'd seen his father put the interests of God's plans for the nation first. God had made David's name great, not for his own sake and self, but for the nation and glory of God instead. Christians should do all things for the glory and honor of God and not for their own self-interest. We can have a bad mindset where we reduce our estimate of God to only being a useful someone in our lives to make our lives more personally satisfying. The real purpose of conversion to Christianity is that it reconciles us to our Heavenly Father and enables us to know God and live through His Holy Spirit's power for His glory. But what does God's glory look like? An important attribute of God's very being is that He is glorious. He is shining with brilliant splendor. To help us praise and reverence the Lord, it's important to know that God's glory actually helps us understand our own future. God created people so they could reign with Him as His very own sons and daughters. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, God called those people who profess to be Christians to have nothing to do with the spiritual darkness of unbelievers, so that God would receive them and be a father to them. If we're to become members of God's own family, one of the attributes we need is the very glory of God to fill us. What are you really living for? It's crucial to realize that you're either glorifying God or glorifying something or someone else. We're created to always make something beyond us look big. As the oldest son of David's princess, Adonijah thought that he was very important. There's been a lot of educational emphasis on the need for people to have good self-esteem. But the Bible says that the way to experience it is through a close encounter with God, not through a self-effort to make ourselves feel better. God wants us to feel terrible about our sin, so we'll come to Him to confess and forsake it. He wants us to hate it as much as He does. The way of being found in God is through the humbling, despised cross of Christ, not through self-promotion and self-importance. Those who are proud, like Adonijah, have no capacity for love. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, it says, "Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble toward one another, always considering others better than yourselves, and look out for one another's interests, not just for your own." That's exactly what Jesus did and how He taught His disciples to love.
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.